Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 11:06. 4 hours down, one left on our five-hour ride to midnight. As we're taking it to Anthony Gallo and Friday morning. It's already Friday. Congratulations. We made it. And I'm off the whole day. How about that? Yeah. Of course, so are the kids, so I know what I'm doing. Fighting. I mean, they're just nonstop. They're nonstop fighting with each other. It's unbelievable. They're at that age, 6 and 8. It's just never ending. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this exactly. But Tommy! I hear that every day. Oh, my God, the little guy screaming Tommy's name. Oh, my God. It's just wakes you up middle of the afternoon. Don't they know I'm sleeping at 3:30? 888-808-1019. Obviously, a lot of baseball as we get two big series coming up. And, you know, speaking, I can't believe I've forgotten this whole time. We're talking movies. How about music? As if you don't know, if you're not a fan, or you just don't get a chance to listen at 3 o'clock in the morning, which, by the way, shame on you. What else are you doing? Like, honestly, what else is there to do at 3 o'clock in the morning? I have to refute the wise words of the great Tom Coughlin. Nothing good happens at 2 a.m.? Nonsense. A lot good happens at 2 a.m. Right here at 6:60 a.m., 101.9 FM. But if you don't know, I'm a huge Beatle fan. And the New York Mets will be having Beatles night Friday, August 15th. It's right before I go on vacation, so I'm going to have to see if I can get down there to celebrate the 60th anniversary of their iconic show at Shea Stadium with a pregame concert by 1964, the Tribute Band, a special postgame fireworks show, and much more. What more could they possibly be doing? Is Paul going to make it? Is Ringo going to be there? That'd be awesome. If I could, that's like one of the bucket list things. If I could find a way to meet Paul McCartney. I used to do that. I haven't done it in a while, but I had a segment after. I was doing a segment on the show called You Never Know Who May Be Listening, when I would just bring up random things or people I'd like to talk to, because I had a conversation once about a Seinfeld episode and Jerry Seinfeld called in, which, by the way, he just did the podcast with Steve Summers. So Me Here, You There, the Steve Summers podcast, I believe that, I know he promoted it. I'm assuming the Jerry Seinfeld episode is out already, but go check it out. Jerry joins Steve Summers to talk, you know, probably Mets mainly. But yeah, I was randomly having a conversation about a Seinfeld episode right here, filling in for Keith, and Jerry called in, and that was a fun moment. I embarrassed myself at the end, but I felt like I handled things well until the last 30 seconds of the interview, when I got just completely fumbled my words on breakfast and Pop-Tarts. But so I had this segment where I was doing on the show, just where I would talk about random things and hope that someone was listening. Paul, if you're listening, if you're coming to New York for the August 16th, next Friday, August 15th, rather, the celebration for the 60th anniversary of their show at Shea Stadium, if you're listening, be happy to have you on. I'll have you on at 3 a.m., primetime slot leading into that Friday night. If you're not too busy, Mr. McCartney.
Did you see the cast that's going to be in the Beatles?
Yes, I did. The only one that jumped out at me was the actor who's playing Ringo, because he's been in a couple of popular movies.
Is that Joseph Quinn?
Yeah, I think that was that his name.
He was the one that's in Fantastic Four.
Yes. I think that's him, yeah.
Yeah.
No, who's the guy who's playing Ringo was in that movie.
Barry Keoghan.
Yeah, the Irish actor who was in that weird movie where he kind of like took down the entire rich family and was having
having
sex with the grave and everything. That was a weird movie.
Oh, then I think Joseph Quinn is.
Is Joseph Quinn in the Fantastic Four movie?
He's I think. George. So.
But yeah, the idea that they're having these four movies, I'm excited about it. If you don't know what Alex is talking about, they're coming out with four Beatle movies. I guess the entire story of the Beatles, and each movie is going to be told through the perspective of one of the Beatles. So there's going to be a Paul movie, a John movie, a George movie, a Ringo movie. For years, I've been saying, where is the four-hour epic Oliver Stone Beatles movie, as he did The Doors with Val Kilmer, which was excellent. I like it. What a great performance is Jim Morrison. So I'm looking forward to the Beatles stuff. But yeah, Beatles night at Citi Field. I'm going to have to try and find my way there. Evan, if you're listening, I saw him today too. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about this. Although we were talking about it a little bit, I should have said, let's go, bring me. Evan, I will go to the Friday night game with you for Beatles night. I feel like I have to be there. I feel like I have to be there for Beatles night. Obviously, that famous concert at Shea Stadium. Right in and amazing too. They just piped it right into the PA system. You could barely hear it. Like when people talk about it, they do documentaries on it. You could barely hear the screaming of the crowd and the, you know, because they were the original, you know. That's when they were the Fab Four, you dopes. When they were the Fab Four and everybody called them the Fab Four, and Beatles Mania, 64, 65, when they played at Citi Field, or Shea Stadium, rather, you couldn't even hear them play over the screams of the young girls in the audience. And then, of course, they changed, which I don't know how anybody is more... like. I love early Beatles. I'll never understand, because there are people who are much more of like an early Beatle fan than a late Beatle fan. I'll never understand that. I love the early Beatles stuff, but, I mean, once they transitioned really into like Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, Mystery Tour, White Album, Let It Be, Abbey Road, like that's where they really became special. But I digress. Enough Beatles talk. I saved that for 3 o'clock in the morning. But if you are listening, Paul, please, let's go together. Me and you. We'll hang out. Celebrate Beatles night at Citi Field. They need more of that. We need to celebrate the Beatles more. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Filling in for McPherson as I've got you for one more hour till midnight. A little bit of football as I'm watching the Raiders and Seattle right now. Football is back. Both teams play on Saturday. Got a lot going on Saturday. Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium. Obviously, the game is back for the first time, which I never understood that. The whole point is to play the game. And I know there's been a lot of controversy with Jeter, and honestly, I don't care. I'll be totally honest with you. Should he be there? That they're celebrating the championship team, yes, he should be there. He was the captain of that team. That's the team that solidifies the dynasty three in a row. The 2000 team, beat the Mets, the whole nine. He was the MVP of the World Series that year, MVP of the All-Star game that year. I wish Derek Jeter were there to celebrate. But ultimately, I've always felt, I don't know about you, but when I turn on Old Timers Day, I'm not turning it on to see Bernie Williams. I'm not turning it on to see Derek Jeter. I'm certainly not turning it on to see Paul O'Neill, who we see on a nightly basis as a broadcaster. Like, I've seen Derek Jeter. Paul, you know, Bernie Williams is playing the guitar, doing things. I love those guys, don't get me wrong, and they're the pinnacle of those teams. They're the guys that are great, and to celebrate the 2020, the 2000 team, sure, you want to see those guys. But Old Timers Day is more about, for me, is about the random guys. Like, that's what I love about Old Timers Day. I love the idea of, like, what's Luis Soho doing? Because you know what? That dribbler up the middle is just as important as the leadoff home run from Jeter. Like, what's Luis Soho doing? What's like some, like, those are the names. Like, we mentioned Ricky LeDay. Let's see Ricky LeDay at Old Timers Day. What's Ricky up to? That's who I want to see. I see Derek Jeter. He's on Fox, you know. I've just watched a 7-part documentary and another one is coming out on Netflix. I know Derek Jeter. I don't need to see Derek Jeter at Old Timers Day. I really don't. I've never felt that way. I like to see the random guys, the Kareem Garcias, what are they up to? How do they look? Bring them back. Give them a wave. Give us the moments that they impacted the team. I know Miguel Cairo, when I think, like, I always think bench guys. Miguel Cairo. I think he's managing. Didn't he step in for someone as the manager? Why do I think Miguel Cairo is managing somewhere? Oh, yeah, with Washington, right? He stepped in. He's the interim manager for the Washington Nationals. Love Miguel Cairo. Now I see him too. I know he's the manager, so I don't need Miguel Cairo there either. I want the guys we haven't seen in forever. Like with the 2000 team, let me try and think. The 2000 team, we don't need Jose Canseco. We know here he is. David Justice, we don't need that. Although you want to talk about a Cashman trade, how about that one? That changed the season around. Those are the guys. Where's Ramiro Mendoza? That's who I want to see. I've always felt that way. So I know it's celebrating the championship team and you want Derek Jeter there. And maybe, you know, now that I'm a father, maybe I'll feel differently. You want to bring your kids and show them Derek Jeter. And talk about how great he was and he was the captain. He was, you know, Hall of Famer and World Series MVP and all that. But for me personally, I like turning on the TV for Old Timers Day and seeing all the random guys.
I had an autograph from Jim Leyritz when I was a kid, and I had no idea who he was
because right.
I didn't grow up in that era. I grew up with the 09 team, and he wore 13. So I just like lied to all my friends, like, I have number 13 autograph.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you have A-Rod?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure. And yeah. I got it from my grandpa. He was a huge, he was a Giants fan, actually, but he somehow got it, and... Yeah, I lied to all my friends I had an A-Rod signature.
That's funny. Yeah, no, Jim Leyritz. Craig Stillmate, whenever I talk to Craig, I actually owe him a call. Craig made fun of me for when I met Jim Leyritz at one of those comedy events. And I had a couple in me and I gave him the whole, you know, man, that home run. Can you believe he threw you a slider or whatever nonsense I said? And he was like, Craig was like, really? That's what you're going to say to him? I'm like, what am I going to say to Jim Leyritz? What was it like losing to the Yankees in 98 as a Padre? Like, what am I going to say to him? I'm going to talk about the home run. Of course I am. I know he's heard it a million times. It's the first time I've spoken to him, though. That's, I mean, but I've always thought about, like, when I turn on the Old Timers Day on Saturday, I'll be looking forward to seeing all the random guys. All the guys you haven't thought of or, oh, that's right. That's right. He played. He was with them that year. Like, that's what I like. Scott Brosius. Although that's not random. World Series MVP in 98.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, the Fan, on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 11:24, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Oh, boy, we've got an update for you right on the screen call. I don't want to push the wrong button. I'm going to go another time. Okay, good. It's the last thing I need is to lose the call screener. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Thursday night, getting ready for the weekend. That's right. And I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm trying to get ready for this trip. I don't, you know, if you haven't listened, I'm going away. My father-in-law has taken the whole family back to where he grew up in Palermo, Italy. So kind of doing a big family trip there. And I don't know how your wives are. I love my wife. She's fantastic. She's the best thing in my life. But like these things, the preparation for a trip starts like... way too early, and like we're every day there's a checklist on doing, like I'm like we got time, but it's like, oh man, we like it's constantly like it's just so much pressure before a vacation, and this one, a big family one, going to Europe and everything with the kids, oh my god, first time on a plane for the kids because we always drive everywhere down to Disney, that's our usual vacation, so this is going to be different, and just the amount of preparation, the things we got to buy, and the things we got to make sure we have, and the checklists, and all that. I'm just like, oh my God. making sure we understand how big the bags have to be, and, you know, carry-on bags, and this, do we bring that? How much money should we, you know, go get changed into rubles or whatever? I know it's not rubles. I'm kidding. The euro. So I guess, and they do that at AAA, so I got to try and find a AAA office. I'm just like, you know, tomorrow is my, I'm finally going to get an off day. The kids are home. No camp, no nothing. I have to go run and do a million different things. Just trying to enjoy myself and get ready for a big Yankee game, which I will be there tomorrow night with the boys. Looking forward to it. And I'm interested to see how many, you know, people around us are screaming F. Altuve with the kids around. Because they'll get a real kick out of that. That's all I need. Excuse me, Mr. McMonagall. Hi, this is Mrs. Doback from elementary school. Yeah, apparently your son was running up and down the hallway screaming F. Altuve. This is kind of a problem for us. Really? What's the problem? What are you, a Met fan? 888-808-1019. I could definitely see that. I let them watch a little bit of the new thing with the Adam Sandler movies coming out, right? So obviously we watched a little bit of the Happy Gilmore 2, and then they wanted to watch Grown Ups, and there is a scene in Grown Ups where Dan Patrick is like the gym teacher, and he's wearing these tight shorts as he's climbing a rope. Like that's all I'm hearing. You want to see me climb a rope? I'm like, oh my god, please stop saying that. it's just unbelievable. They constantly say the same thing over and over again. They got a kick out of the scene where he opens up the raft in the store and it like knocks everything over. And my son Kevin James does like a fart, sneeze, cough thing all at once, and now the kids are trying to do that. Like it's just so, like it's just nonstop. It's nonstop. They're crazy. You gotta love it. One day I'll remember this. Like I always say, like one day the house is gonna be real quiet, and we're gonna be like, man, do you remember when these kids were running around screaming? We couldn't stop them. But right now it's hard to not lose your mind when you have 4 hours of sleep every night. 888-808-1019. Also, as we talk about injuries and the Giants schedule as well, Rashawn Slater, Pro Bowl left tackle for the Chargers, has ruptured his patellar tendon, and he will be gone for the year. That is a devastating blow to him. Micah Parsons is dealing with a back injury after all the talk about the injuries and, you know, why not give him a contract because he might fall down the stairs or whatever nonsense Jerry Jones was spouting. Micah Parsons is dealing with a back injury now to slow down the season as he's demanding a trade out of Dallas. So there are teams with a bunch of issues. And that's why I don't get hung up on schedules, man. I think that is the dumbest thing. I don't get hung up on it. I know how tough it's going to be, but the idea that we know the Giants aren't going to compete, we know the Giants don't have a chance just because the schedule seems tough. Is that Marshawn Lynch on the sidelines as a cameraman? Look at that. Marshawn Lynch on the sidelines with a media vest, big camera. Good for him. Isn't Randy Johnson a big camera guy too? Randy Johnson takes a bunch of pictures and stuff. But like, I don't get hung up on the schedule, man. The schedule could change. Who knows, you know, what that team looks like now. Right? I'm sure everyone had the Chargers at September 28th, week 4. After that Chiefs game, oh, it's going to be a tough game. Chargers, who knows? Who knows what that offensive line looks like now? Like, things change. Like, that's why, like, I look at that Giants schedule, right? And it starts with those two games on the road. I think they have to take one as they go to Washington and Dallas to start the season. Coming home against the Chiefs, we understand that's going to be a tough Sunday Night Football. Chiefs, Giants, that's going to be a tough game. We know the Chiefs are going to be good. But then the Chargers, again, should be good. Good head coach, good quarterback. Offensive line could be an issue for them now. So, I mean, if you figure out a way to get two wins or a win before they get, like, at least one, right? You get into that Saints game. Hopefully the Saints on the road. The Saints should be bad this year. Have a chance to win that game. before Eagles, Broncos, Eagles. I mean, that's it's a tough stretch. There's no doubt. I mean, that is a tough stretch. The schedule, I don't know how the Giants could finish where they finished and still get this schedule where, I mean, it's at Washington, at Dallas, home against the Chiefs, home against the Chargers, on the road against the Saints, home against the Eagles, on the road for the Broncos, on the road for the Eagles, back home against the Niners. Like that. How is that possible? Now, again, I still don't think it's the absolute death knell to this team because I think they have a chance to be pretty damn good. I really do. And I think the key to the season right now for the New York Giants, or at least the early part of the season here, is Evan Neal at guard. I mean, they're mixed reports at camp, right? We'll see. Evan Neal's transition to guard is going to be a huge factor for this offensive line. Now, as Andrew Thomas can stay healthy, I think the offensive line can be pretty good. That's what it was last year. Before he went down, Illuminor stepped up. I think he can handle the right tackle position. Hopefully, Evan Neal can figure out the interior. And then you look at this team. Like, it sounds like Banks going to win that second cornerback spot. You got, you know, Tyler Newbin, Andrew Phillips, two young kids, and that the draft really went well last year for them. I think they've got some talent. I think they got offensive weapons. I think they have a quarterback who can play, and I still believe in the head coach. So, like, when I look at it, I don't go into this game against Washington thinking they have no chance to win this football game. I really don't. I don't go into the game against the Cowboys thinking they're not going to win or they can't go beat a Dallas team. I really don't. For the first time in years, I really don't. Now, we'll see. Russell Wilson might suck. We'll see. But I really do feel better about this team. I would not be surprised if they take one of those two games. And if they do that, I think it would feel a lot better. Because you understand you're going to probably lose the Chiefs game, right? I mean, you never know. But if they can figure out a way to take one of the first two games, either on the road in Washington or on Dallas, and then you're 1-2 playing facing a Chargers team at home, now without their Pro Bowl left tackle, and the Giants pass rush, that's the other thing. You want to talk about what neutralizes football teams? Pass rush. Your quarterback play, protecting your quarterback, getting after the opposition's quarterback. Those are the three most important things in the NFL. And on paper, you got to go see it happen, but on paper, the Giants have one of the best pass rushers in the sport. They've got Dexter Lawrence in the middle, who's the best, I think, best interior pass rusher in the sport. He's really emerged as that over the last 2 years. You'll have Burns, Thibodeau, and Carter. Like, they can get after it. And if you go play a Chargers team that has issues with losing their all-pro left tackle, you can't go win that game at home. I mean, that's the thing. If this pass rush is dynamic, they're going to win more football games than you think. Plain and simple. If you can get after the quarterback, they're going to win more football games than you think. I firmly believe that. Now, let's see how good it can be. But if the offense is just stable and they're able to do, you know, anything with Russell, if they're able, because again, we forget Russell Wilson got hurt down the stretch, but 2 years ago in Denver, he had a good season. Last year, he took the Steelers to the playoffs. If he can get competent quarterback play and they can figure out a way to put up some points in this pass rush, I know there's some issues, linebacking core, second cornerback. Like, they're not a great defense, but they have a pass, and the stop and the run could be a problem. But if they can figure out a way to really get after the quarterback, they can win more games than you think. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Let's get to Neil in Greenwich. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good. And hey, I heard you talking about your wife and the Europe planning, and it made me think. Let me get Chris's take on a debate amongst a couple of friends.
Okay,
a few friends. So a buddy's a diehard Yankee fan, like you are, like I am. He's 50 years old. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And he's been invited to another friend's, a good friend's 50th birthday, who's a Mets fan.
Okay.
And the wife of the Mets fan is insisting that everybody show up with a Mets shirt. Okay. Now, my view is no. you, at best, you compromise wearing a Knicks shirt. You know, you got the same colors, and
yeah,
we can all agree. Okay. My question to you was,
yeah, all right. So let me just get this straight. It's a 50th birthday party. He's a big Mets fan. They're insisting that everybody comes, that everyone who comes to the party has to wear a Mets shirt?
That's what the wife is insisting. Exactly. And I find it offensive as a Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. And my friend agrees. And my question, but at the same time, it's his buddy. It's his buddy's 50th. And, you know, my view is if the wife doesn't allow a Knicks shirt, which to me is a fair compromise, you don't go. Because I would never wear a Mets shirt. I just wouldn't. So my question to you was, I know you're a diehard Yankee fan, but you play it straight for the radio show. But you're not a troll.
Well,
like
some wouldn't agree with you, but yes.
Well, no, I think they're trolls on the station. You're not. But you're tongue in cheek when you are. So I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what would you do? What would you do in that situation?
Listen, now it depends. I don't know the dynamics of it completely because, look, there are, and thank you for the call. One, I would, like, I don't put it on the guy's wife. It's his party. Like, if I had a 50th birthday, I would never make someone wear another, I would never say you're all wearing Yankee stuff or you can't come. Like, it's just, that's obnoxious. It's obnoxious. I can't imagine anyone having a party saying, you have to wear a Mets shirt or I won't let you in. Like, it's obnoxious. So I would go without a Mets shirt on. Absolutely, 100%. Almost out of principle. Now, if it was a special set of circumstances, I don't know. You know? Like, there are reasons. I'm not above putting on a Mets shirt for the right reason. You know? It's not like I'll never wear a Mets shirt. I don't care. But, like, the idea that it's for a 50-year-old's birthday party, and I'm being told for a grown man's birthday party, I have to wear a Mets shirt? No. Absolutely not. I'll show up, and I'm not wearing a Mets shirt. Kick me out for not wearing a Mets shirt. I'd love to see that. That's funny. Who would do that? Who would do that? I get mad at people who do things on Sundays during the football season. Like, I can't imagine that. How could you have a party on a football Sunday? Like, I don't understand it. I know we deal in this, and that sounds crazy to some people. Like, you're out of your mind. How in the world could you have you really want to have a party? I'm like, honey, no. It's amazing to me. So let alone, like, dictating what people have to wear. Now, I know there are parties that have, like, you know, I have a friend in the neighborhood. He had his 40th birthday, and it was a roaring 20s theme. So you had to wear something 20s. Now, you could have shown up in jeans and a t-shirt. I don't think he would have kicked you out necessarily, but that was the theme. Everyone was expected to get dressed up. I went out and bought something dumb to wear, whatever. Like, so there are parties that come with that sort of expectation, but the idea you have to wear a Mets shirt or a Yankee shirt or a Giant shirt or a Jets shirt or pick a team, that's crazy. I would just go get a t-shirt made with his name on it and go, like, I'm celebrating him. Like, you not wearing. I would never do that. I don't think I would. No, I won't. It reminds me of, since we were talking about Leonardo DiCaprio, when he's Howard Hughes in The Aviator, will you produce him? No, I don't think I will.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 11:45, McMonagle here with you for another 15 minutes. We got Anthony Gallo in the building. He's telling me that his mom wouldn't let his friends in the house if they were wearing Yankee stuff, that she hates the Yankees that much that she would not allow friends to wear Yankee gear in the house. Yeah, that's cuckoo. That's fun. That's funny. It's a great story. And that's kind of cool. Like, that's fun. But, like, yeah, to, like, have a...
If she's listening right now, the cuckoo line might not go over too well.
No? I'm sorry. It's a little kooky.
Just to put it how she is a little kooky. To put it this way, the first time I was nice about the Yankees on air, I got a text in the middle of my open. Who raised you?
She hates them that much? Why?
I'm not like that either.
What?
I'm not
obviously a Met fan, right? Obviously, she's a Met fan.
Yes, diehard.
Right. So, what, I mean, did it start in 2000 or was it always this way?
I don't know. It could maybe trauma.
That's what I'm saying. Like, up in New York. Yeah. And the whole family, everyone's a Met fan? Or?
Yeah. My dad just doesn't like the Yankees because everyone in his family's Yankee fan. So he just likes to be different than them. But
sure.
Everyone's diehard Met fans.
Diehard Met fans. Can't walk into the house. Can't sully the sanctity of the Gallo household by wearing... What if he wore Joey Gallo jersey? Did she have a problem with Gallo being a Yankee?
There's no name on the back. She might think it's an A-Rod jersey.
There you go. That's a good point.
Stu Kovacs from the network, my best friend for life.
Yeah.
Big A-Rod guy. So yeah. That's what she would think it is.
There you go. But still, there was a Gallo who was a Yankee. Is she all right with that?
Well, her maiden name is...
Oh, that's a good point.
Is Simonelli.
Simonelli?
Very my nice. Dad's the Gallo.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's how it works. Thank you. Simonelli. Italian?
100%.
100%, yeah. So, my wife, too. Look at that.
Big leap for you there.
Big leap, yeah. I had no idea that was an Italian last name. Just a guess. I'm going to Palermo. I'm going to Palermo. Italian. What part of Italy? Any idea?
My mom is Sicily and Naples.
Okay.
My dad is southern Italy, but then we also think that there may be... He's 100%, but we also think that there's probably something in there that's not Italian.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Palermo in 2 weeks.
You really better be ready to walk.
Yeah, I know. In the hot sun, I'm ready to walk. I want to talk about this too. I bought Hoka's. They are, I've had Allbirds a lot for shoes. I thought they were the most comfortable shoes I ever had. And then I got these. Someone told me you got to go get Hoka's. These shoes. They are. First of all, I don't want to knock the company. The shoes are. Not, I don't like the look of them because they have like the foam bottoms. They're this thick. They make me like 3 or 4 inches taller. But I swear, if these are not the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn in my life, it's like walking on clouds. It's unbelievable.
I have on the On Clouds.
Uh-huh.
I like the Hokas too.
I have On Clouds as well.
You have On Clouds too. They're very ugly. Comfortable.
These are cool. Alex's On Clouds are cool.
I don't love the look of them. I got to be honest. I don't love the look of them. The sole is too thick. I don't love it. But
Ons
man,
are great. Like. Most comfortable shoe. I've been wearing them for years.
Yeah.
The look of them are cool, but they just wear out very quickly.
Really?
So what I do is I just like send them a picture online and I just ordered my new one for free.
Really?
Yeah.
So what I gotta do?
$4, but
oh, $4. Sure, yeah.
Taxes or whatever.
Well, so it's not free. You lied, Alex.
Sorry.
You paid $4. Give me this crap free shoes. No.
But I would recommend.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you right now, these Hokas, again, they look a little bit like I don't know. They're just so thick and big. But they are, I mean, it doesn't even feel like I have shoes on my feet. It's crazy. And so, yeah, I'm getting ready to do a lot of walking. We'll do a lot of walking. We do a lot of every vacation. You go to Disney, same thing. A lot of walking. The difference is then you get on rides. I don't know if the kids are going to be into walking around going, oh, look at this, you know, old place. Oh, look at this. It's one thing when you're walking around and then you get to, you know, eat. I guess there'll be gelato there. So we're looking forward to that. But, to not allow anyone in the house because of the gear. Sorry, Mrs. Gallo. I don't mean any disrespect, but it's a little kooky. But I love it. I don't need. I wonder if she's like Marash's mom, who yells and curses and sends mean text messages. people take things very personally. Very personally.
What was? Because my mom, I don't know. It's different when I'm watching sports. My mom does not like sports. Mm-hmm. That was always me and my dad thing. But,
right.
So I always grew up where I just can't like yell at the TV.
Yeah.
or else like she turn it off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that was like the same with you.
No, I don't think so. I don't remember all that much about like rules like that. I was always in my room or whatever, but yeah, I don't know. And I would watch it with my dad, obviously. My mom wasn't the biggest sports person either. But right now, my wife yells at me for yelling at the television now. I'm more in trouble now with my television etiquette than I was when I was a kid. And I'm crazier now, there's no doubt. I am definitely crazier now than I was when I was a kid.
Oh, for sure.
It didn't impact me as much as it impacts me now. When I was a kid, I loved them, don't get me wrong. I watched every game the same way, but... I don't remember getting as nervous. Maybe it's because they were, you know, when I really, you know, for those years, they were just so good. I didn't have, like, and even if they didn't win, okay, they just won last year. Like, I don't know. But, like, now maybe it's the drought, maybe it's whatever, but, like.
Maybe we just took it for granted when we were kids.
Yeah, I don't know. But I didn't get nearly as nervous or as angry or as walking around or as, like, I pace. And I was saying it before, my wife really had me laughing when she just went, "Why is World Series Chris in my living room?" And I'm like, I don't know, honey. I'm sorry, but he's here, and he's not going anywhere. It's a nightly basis now. It's every night. This is a big series, man. You got Cam Schlittler on the mound against the Houston Astros Friday night against Hunter Brown, been one of the best pitchers in the American League. Yankees got to start turning this thing around right now. The Seattle Mariners won an extra innings against the White Sox. They're a game and a half up. The Yankees are a game and a half back to be the second wild card. Like, they're a game and a half up of being out of the postseason. It starts right now. This is a big series against them. This is a big series against the Nemesis, a team that's owned them forever. And I want revenge. And yeah, listen, you can't get revenge in this series, and it'll never be even because they'll never be able to do it. But if they see them in the postseason, man, I don't care what series it is. I don't care if it's the wild card. I don't care. I want this, and I've said this before. I want a championship first and foremost. There's no doubt. I want a World Series championship from the Yankees. But I do want revenge against the Astros. I want Altuve. I don't want to scream F Altuve. I don't care. I want Altuve to walk off the field and know his season ended because of the New York Yankees. I want it once. Now, he's won championships. He's on his way to a Hall of Fame career. He's beat the Yankees a million times. I'm not saying it's ever going to be even or that the heartbreak would even be the same. But I need him to walk off the field. And I'm glad Correa's back because I need him too. I need him. And too bad Bregman is now a Red Sox. And I'll take some comfort if it happens to the Red Sox knowing Bregman's there. It'll be the Red Sox with a little bit of cherry on top to send Bregman home. But I need those guys just once. One time. And I don't care what round it is. I don't care, oh, the wild card's not the same as the ALCS. I don't care. I need their season to end at the hands of the New York Yankees. Just one time. One time. So if the season ended today, I heard Evan talking about it. I believe if the season ended today, the New York Yankees would be taking on the Houston Astros in a three-game series in Houston. Let me just double check that. They have the lesser record of the three division leaders. They would take on the wild card. It would be the Yankees in Houston for two games, or three games rather, best of three, all in Houston. Sign me up right now. Sign me up right now. I want that series bad. Bad. And really, there's no difference between the set. I mean, you got, and even a division winner, the division winner versus the top wild card, if the Yankees are going to catch the Blue Jays, they would have the best record because right now the Blue Jays do have the best record in the American League. But, like, I don't care. I want Houston. I want them walking off the field and watching the Yankees celebrate as Houston walks off. I need that one time. One time. So right now, if the season ended, it would be three games in Houston. I would sign up for that right now. Because I think they, I mean, listen, it would be a tough matchup depending on, you know, what they would have to do right now. They're only a game and a half up on Seattle. So, like, they're fighting. They would have to pitch their guys probably going down the stretch of the season. I don't know if they'd be able to set up their rotation for the wild card. Yankees probably wouldn't be either. We'd see. But I'll take my chances against the Astros for three games. And again, this is what Kevin Kiernan was saying at 9 o'clock when we spoke to him. Part of the reason he's optimistic about both the Mets and the Yankees is who's really that good. We're going to get a look at Houston. Is Houston that good? They're 4-6 in their last 10. They lost 3 out of 4, I think, to the A's just recently. They got swept by the Boston Red Sox. Who's that good? Who's so good that the Yankees can't beat? Who's so good the Mets can't beat? Are the Tigers that good? Are the Blue Jays that good? Because I'm telling you, I'll still call them frauds. I don't care what anybody says. Frauds. The Blue Jays have been frauds. Maybe this team isn't. But you don't get to shake the fraud moniker by being 68-48 through 116. Like, you don't. They have not won a playoff game in this Vladimir Guerrero era. And in 2021, the Yankees weren't very good. At the end of the year, both teams were battling for a wild card. The Yankees went into Toronto and beat that team 2 out of 3 and won the wild card. And they were the Vladimir Guerrero, Bichette, Biggio, the second generation superstar Toronto Blue Jays. Their bark has been bigger than their bite for years. And I'm not ready to call them anything other than division leader. So, if the season ended for the Mets right now, they would be taking on, they're in the third wild card, they would be taking on the Phillies. And I think the Mets would sign up for that series right now. They have played very well against Philadelphia for the most part. Obviously won the series last year. They swept them earlier in the season. I think the Mets would sign up for that series right now. I heard Evan saying that he would rather take on the Dodgers. Here's the only thing about the Dodgers. I don't know if you saw yesterday. And again, this takes me back to where I started 2 years ago in the overnight talking about Shohei Ohtani. You see Shohei Ohtani pitch? Now, two starts ago, he left the mound early. It was just cramps. We all thought he was injured. Just cramps. He pitched against St. Louis the other day. Go watch Shohei Ohtani pitch. The dude is nasty. He's throwing 100 miles an hour. I mean, if Shohei Ohtani gets back to pitching, again, when he pitches, we are witnessing the greatest baseball player to ever live. And watching him pitch that game against St. Louis, throwing 100 miles an hour, throwing 91 mile an hour sliders, he looked unbelievable. So the Dodgers have been floundering a little bit. They've only been 5-5 in their last 10. They haven't been all that great. They're a dangerous team when they get healthy, too. So that's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Alex on the other side. Big Kahuna Burger over here. Marco will get you in a few minutes. Thank you to you. Thank you to you. This is why I'm in radio. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your Friday. Gallo's up next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.